live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on into, I guess, a football Friday without the football, even though we'll talk a lot of football right here on the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to lock on in and jump in with us. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm Straight Flexin, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. I want to get into my top five quarterback rankings in just a second, but we have the mayhem and the chaos that's going on right now in Philadelphia as the Eagles are celebrating their second ever Super Bowl championship, and the parade, and I see the images of it, is just absolutely raucous right now. I saw one video of Nolan Smith, who he was so drunk that he went over, right, and someone's like, oh, can you take a picture, I guess, with my daughter? And the daughter is like, I don't know, 4 or 5. So he puts the daughter on his shoulders, and they take the photo, and he walks away, and he's like half a block down away from where he took the photo, and the kid's still on his shoulders, which is just absolutely crazy. Quinyon Mitchell, I think he's in the lead right now for being the most turnt at this victory parade and at this celebration. And then also Cam Jurgens, he has a beef jerky company that he's made, and he's throwing out beef jerky to people. So those are some of the craziest things I've seen. Saquon Barkley, his best move of the season, which is saying a lot because he's had many great moves this season. I guess the ball boy, you know, at Lincoln Financial Field, so he doesn't always travel with the team, but he's the Eagles ball boy. He wasn't invited to the parade, or I guess they didn't have access to the parade. So Saquon Barkley is high-fiving fans. And as he's high-fiving fans, he does a double take, and he goes, wait, it's the ball boy. And Saquon Barkley goes, like, do you not have access to the parade? And he goes, nope. He picks up the ball boy, and he goes, you're going to go through the parade route with the rest of us. You know, can Saquon Barkley do anything wrong these days? I don't think so. So some pretty cool things right now, and they just started the speeches right in the at the Art Museum on the Rocky Steps. So if anything crazy comes from that, we will air it for you coming up later on in the show. I have to ask something, though. Because, Stu, I know you don't have any children. Mike, you have an adorable baby girl, who, by the way, Mike's daughter and I were FaceTiming a lot last week at the Super Bowl. And there was even moments where Mike's daughter was like, no, not you, Daddy, Zach. She just wanted to talk to Uncle Zach all throughout the trip when her old man and I were having some fun in New Orleans. But I have to ask you a parental decision here, Mike. So would you take a four-month-old, just wondering, a four-month-old to the parade? If mom and dad are massive Eagles fans, would you feel good taking your four-month-old into the craziness of Philadelphia where you can't control anything and you know there's going to be a lot of drunk fans just doing some crazy stuff? Would you take a four-month-old?
I wouldn't take my four-month-old out of her bedroom for the first for the first moments of her life. I wouldn't, but I also, this is my first kid. I think if I had another one, I'd be a little bit less careful. Because I think with your first kid, you're just like so nervous about everything.
Yeah, and you mess so many things up the first time.
Well, and not even just messing up. You're so nervous. You want to protect everything. And then you start to realize they're a lot more durable than you would think. I've seen people, like, I went to a Green Day concert back in New Jersey in the summer.
I want to be an American.
Oh, no, actually, it was in Queens, yeah. And it was incredible. There was a woman there with like a 2.5-month-old in one of those baby carriers.
Talk about an American idiot.
And I'm like, that's got to be too young. I'm like, how old is your baby? She's like, almost 3 months. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? But the kid was fine. They had little headphones on. So I think at the end of the day, you probably could do it. I just would not have the chutzpah to pull that off.
So my first ever childhood friend, I was born the 9th, he was born the 14th. He's a massive, massive Philadelphia Eagles fan. And he doesn't live that far from me now. And he's married, and his wife, right, Annalie, absolutely beautiful. So you have Annalie and Spencer. They invited me over for dinner the other night. They wanted to hear about the Super Bowl trip, right? They wanted to bask in the glory of their Eagles winning the Super Bowl with someone that was there and, right, was basically staying with the team. And they wanted to hear all the stories from the after party and all that. So they invited me over. They made me dinner. And then they go, are you going to the parade? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to the parade. You know, I like the Eagles, but I'm a Patriot fan. And also, I have no desire, if I'm not working, to stand in the cold with a bunch of drunks for hours and hours and hours. And even though I love Eagles fans, hear the Eagles fan chant just get botched and completely just destroyed. The mayor, who was like E-L-J-E-S or however she spelled it. I said, I have no desire to go. I go, are you guys going? They're like, yeah. So I said to my buddy Spencer, I go, oh, what, your mom, right? Nyla's grandmother's probably watching the baby, right? They go, no, we're taking the baby to the parade. And the baby is at most, what, 4 or 5 months old? I couldn't believe that. A 4 or 5 month-year-old at the parade. I saw a video of Zach Bond signing a baby at the parade. And I couldn't really make out whose baby it was. I texted them. I go, is this Nyla? I was curious. And they go, no, it wasn't us. And I go, oh, first missed assignment for Zach Bond this season. I said, I need your baby to get signed. I need to go viral today. But I guess if I was a parent, and I'm not, at least not that I know of, I would not take a 4 or 5 month old. But they were at the parade, and I checked in with them about like an hour ago, and they said it was a wonderful time, and the baby looked adorable, looked like she was having a blast. So that was just something that I thought of right out of the gate. Anyway, here was Bryant McFadden with us yesterday from CBS Sports HQ, the 2-time Super Bowl champion, former defensive back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here we go. Here are his top 5 quarterbacks coming off the 2024 season and coming off Super Bowl 59.
Going into this season, based on what we just watched, I would have Lamar, Josh, Pat, Jalen, Joe.
Wow, you put Lamar 1, even when he couldn't beat Josh? I know it wasn't his fault because Mark Andrews can't catch the football, but I would still go Patrick Mahomes 1.
No, I'm just talking about individual, right? This is an individual ranking. The best quarterback in 2024 in terms of individual numbers, in terms of winning.
Gotcha.
Right? I felt like Lamar was the best quarterback, even though he didn't win the MVP. He won first team All-Pro. I felt like he was the best quarterback. He's won. Josh Allen won MVP. Right there on the cusp of being next to Lamar Jackson, but he did win the hardware. 2, Pat Mahomes, because of what he did with what was surrounding him. Remember, Pat Mahomes didn't have Rashee Rice for the majority of the year. Didn't miss a beat. Got his team to a championship. You have to factor that into the equation. And for Jalen Hurts, he's a winner. Individually speaking, Joe Burrow put up more numbers because he had to. But wins mean something for me in terms of why I have Jalen at 4 over Joe Burrow, who's 5th.
So that was Bryant McFadden. I think ranking quarterbacks is so difficult. And Bryant made it clear this is coming off this season and how they played this season. I do think it's tough on just only focusing coming off of this season, and I still have to factor in things in the past. Now, how far do you go in accounting for the past? Like, for example, if I got on the radio and said Aaron Rodgers is still a top 5 quarterback because he's been a 4-time MVP or however many times he won the award, well, I don't think Aaron Rodgers the last 2 years has done enough. One, he was hurt, and then last year he got off to such a slow start to really make that a claim that I could provide merit and I could justify that claim. So I'm factoring in, you know, Super Bowl championships. I'm factoring in, you know, regular season numbers, MVP awards. And then also, like, I look at really what they've done for the last 2-3 years and then how I project them going into next season. I still have to have Patrick Mahomes as my top quarterback in the sport. I get it. Patrick Mahomes was god-awful in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes played his worst game maybe ever of his life in Super Bowl 59. But I still give him the benefit of the doubt, and I still think he's the most feared player in the NFL. And this dude already has 2 MVPs, 3 Super Bowl championships, 3 MVPs. And if a bad performance for Patrick Mahomes and a bad season for Patrick Mahomes is getting to the Super Bowl and losing, and I get it, he was horrible in the game, the strip sack, the 2 interceptions, one of them went for 6, the other one basically went for 6 as well, because shortly after that, they put the ball in the end zone. Well, then I'm still okay with what he's done in the last few years, putting Patrick Mahomes in the 1 spot. So until we see him get knocked off a few times, and for the foreseeable future, I still put Patrick Mahomes as the top quarterback in the league. Now, after that, I put Josh Allen as the second best quarterback in football. And before the start of this season, I probably would have put Joe Burrow 2 and then Josh Allen 3. But I put Josh Allen now in at 2 because if it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen would have already been in a Super Bowl and he already probably would have won a Super Bowl. And when the Bills lose to the Chiefs, it's not as if Josh Allen doesn't play well. Josh Allen did more than enough this year. Josh Allen did more than enough a few years ago when they lost the game in 13 seconds. Josh Allen, heck, even last year when he threw that bazooka down the right sideline for like 80 yards, Stephon Diggs just has to catch the football, and he wasn't able to do that. But not only because he won the MVP this year is why Josh Allen moves into the second spot, but you have the dual threat abilities as well. But I also don't think there's a quarterback in the league that does more for his team with less than Josh Allen. Like, look at what Josh Allen has around him. Don't get me wrong, he's a good offensive line. You know, I think an underappreciated offensive line. But who's his number one wide receiver? Keon Coleman? Amari Cooper? You know, who is the Shakir? Who is the number one wide receiver? Dalton Kincaid hasn't popped off. You know, Dawson Knox is a fine tight end in this league. You know, his best next complimentary piece is James Cook. And by the way, James Cook is already operating the playbook. I saw he scrubbed the Bills from his social media, took him out of his bio, and he wants $15 million a year. And James Cook is a good back, but he's not in the same conversation of elite NFL running backs like a Christian McCaffrey, a Saquon Barkley, or even a Derrick Henry. You know, he's just not. He's really damn good. He's a very good running back, but he's not an elite running back in the NFL. So I would put Josh Allen in at 2. In at number 3, I have to put Lamar Jackson. I know he's never been to a Super Bowl. I know he's never won an AFC championship. And he didn't beat Buffalo this year. And last year he had Kansas City at home on the ropes and his offense couldn't do anything. But I take a look at Lamar Jackson. He was 6th in passing yards this year, 4,172. He was tied for 2nd in passing touchdowns with 41. He had the best quarterback rating in the league, but you can't just do only the passing numbers. Because not only is he an elite thrower of the football now, for how much people knock and crap on Lamar Jackson when it comes to throwing the football, he is also an elite runner of the football. So you put up elite passing yards, and then also, you know, not only is it 4,172 passing yards, 41 passing touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. You lead the league in QBR. And then, oh yeah, by the way, you put up 915 yards on the ground that he just did this past year and also 4 rushing touchdowns too. The dual threat ability is what moves him up into that number 3 spot. Then I put Joe Burrow in at 4. Joe Burrow had the most passing touchdowns this year. He had the most passing yards. The only thing that goes against Joe Burrow, and I think he did everything possible for his team. Now, the slow starts are inexcusable. Don't get me wrong. That defense was god-awful. But if the Cincinnati Bengals made the playoffs this year, which they almost did towards the end of the season after many of us did write them off, Joe Burrow probably would have won the MVP. Like, you look at that team, they have a lot of star power, but they now need to fill out the rest of the roster. T. Higgins probably going to leave. You have Ja'Marr Chase. He was a stud. Trey Hendrickson led the league in sacks. He's a stud. And then Joe Burrow led the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns. Like, think about it. If I said to you before the start of the season that the Cincinnati Bengals would have the leading wide receiver in football, the leading passing yard quarterback and passing touchdown quarterback, and also the guy that led the league in sacks, you would definitely say, you know, they're a playoff team. And if I told you they weren't a playoff team, you'd be asking me what crack was I probably smoking. You know, you probably would. But the thing with Joe Burrow is the Bengals haven't made the playoffs the last 2 seasons. So that when you get into this elite group, Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, that plays a factor in it. And also there's been, unfortunately, some injuries for Joe Burrow. And then in at 5 is Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts may not be the best regular season quarterback. He may not be the best statistical quarterback. But the guy that everyone is chasing is Patrick Mahomes. And now in 2 Super Bowls, you've had Jalen Hurts outplay Patrick Mahomes, not once, but twice, and then he finally got rewarded with the victory. and he just won a Super Bowl MVP. So that's how I rank the top five quarterbacks in football entering this season. You know, for the season that we will go through the offseason and get set for the 2025 season. And September, you know, usually they say wake me up when September ends. You know, do another Green Day reference. But let me get to September. You know, I know I like to enjoy the summer, but I'm already missing me my college football and my NFL. But my top five quarterbacks right now going into next season, Patrick Mahomes 1, Josh Allen 2, Lamar Jackson 3, Joe Burrow 4, and Jalen Hurts 5. How do you rank your top five quarterbacks entering the 2025 season? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. And based off of Brian McFadden said, he said Lamar Jackson is the top quarterback in the league. Who is your top quarterback? And is the number one spot no longer Patrick Mahomes? To be clear, I still think the number one spot does belong to Mahomes. Once again, Mahomes 1, Allen 2, Lamar 3, Burrow 4, and then the Super Bowl 59 MVP, Jalen Hurts, in that number 5 spot. All right, we'll take a time out on the Zach Yelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, we have a former Miami booster who did go to the Slammer. He now supposedly has some insight on one New York football team that may be moving up in the draft to get Cam Ward, and it's not the one that you think it is. We'll tell you that audio and play you that audio next, and who could be some teams that could move up into the first or second spot of the NFL draft to maybe go select either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Yelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Nevin Shapiro was that big Miami booster. You know, he is a convicted felon as well. So I realize the audio that I'm about to play for you, you need to take it with a grain of salt. But still, with that being said, Nevin Shapiro at one time was as connected not only with the U, but with any athlete that was living in Miami, right? He was a jock sniffer. I think that's the nice way to say it. He loved hanging out with the celebrities, with the athletes, and he'd be willing to do whatever it did take for, right, Miami to try to be successful or anything to kind of suck up to athletes. So Nevin Shapiro, I guess, does a podcast now called the Nevin Shapiro Fan Club. And also, I remember we played audio from him about a month ago where he predicted that the Giants were going to get Cam Ward. And I think it was whoever was the offensive coordinator at Miami was going to join the Giants, and he was going to be their next offensive coordinator as well. Now, we know that didn't end up happening. But now Nevin Shapiro is hearing something else when it comes to a team potentially trading up to the number one or number two pick in the draft if Tennessee and Cleveland are open for business. And just listen to this audio, and then we'll react to it.
So I'm told the Giants are out of the Cam Ward business as of today. The team that's starting to surface as the player for Cam Ward and is putting together a big package. So it looks like Matthew Stafford is going to be going to the Giants. Had the Giants had the first pick, they're still trying to get the Cam Ward, but they're not going to be able to. The team that's starting to surface as the player for Cam Ward and is putting together a big package is the New York Jets. And I was told that firsthand, specifically, same way I was told about Cam Ward being the first pick, which, by the way, makes me look accurate. The Giants decided to go win. Otherwise, they'd have Cam Ward sitting there for them.
Wow, the New York Jets.
The New York Jets are making a strong play for Cam Ward.
I can't take that seriously with the music in the background. Am I going to see an action movie, or I'm getting information on the NFL draft? And when he said in the clip, because right, we condensed it a little bit, like the Giants are trying to go win, that was in response to these reports out there that the Giants are trying to go get Matthew Stafford. I don't think Matthew Stafford, by the way, is going to be the next Giant quarterback. I'm not believing that Matthew Stafford is going to leave the Rams, right, and get traded from the Rams and go try to finish his career with the Giants. And the only way I could see Matthew Stafford wanting to be the next Giant quarterback is because maybe he thinks playing the end of his career in New York will help him down the road, right, getting the New York media behind his side, you know, and back him for whenever it gets into those Hall of Fame debates. As Matthew Stafford is nowhere close to being a first ballot Hall of Famer, but winning a Super Bowl as a quarterback in this league, there will at least be a conversation potentially one day about Matthew Stafford being in the Hall of Fame. So Nevin Shapiro, what a source. He is now saying that the New York Jets are trying to move up to go get Cam Ward. Now, I'm not going to totally dismiss it. And here's why. So the Jets just brought in a new general manager. They brought in a new head coach. And they got rid of Aaron Rodgers. And they have a young core. But if you don't go get an actual quarterback for that young core, how many of these guys are going to stick around? Even the defensive guys like Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. But more importantly, someone like Garrett Wilson, who's already showed his frustration, if you don't get him his guy at the quarterback position, you could run the risk of him eventually requesting a trade or not trying to re-sign with the New York Jets. And we've talked about this. Who are the great options out there? You know, I actually don't think Matthew Stafford would be a bad option for the Jets. I don't. But I still believe that Matthew Stafford's going to be back with the Rams. You know, are you interested in exploring a Russell Wilson or a Justin Fields? Neither of those guys are franchise quarterbacks. I think Sam Darnold, right? The Jets could be interested in him, but I think that that Sam Darnold wouldn't touch the Jets with a 10-foot pole right now, if I'm just being honest. So you look at the Jets, they're sitting there at 7. We talk about the Raiders, who are sitting there at 6, potentially trading up in the draft. So you're only one spot behind the Raiders. If Tennessee or Cleveland is clear that they don't want to draft the quarterback, or just one of them doesn't want to draft a quarterback, and you're good with either Cam Waters or Dor Sanders, I actually don't think it's the craziest thing in the world for a team like the Jets to trade up, because then you could identify who your guy is in Shador Sanders or Cam Ward. You go get one of them, and then you have new life for the franchise moving forward with a younger core that could get excited once again, because you're at least putting that flag in the ground on who your quarterback's going to be. Here's the tricky part, though. We talked to a few people at the Super Bowl. Ryan Leaf was one. And I think even Thomas Dimitroff, if I'm wrong on this, I apologize. They were alluding to it. And I know Leaf said it, that neither should Dor Sanders or Cam Ward. They'll go in the first round, but he doesn't view them as first-round quarterbacks. Like, they will not rate out to be a first-round quarterback, but you know there's always a need for a quarterback. I still think only two quarterbacks go in the first round, because I have no clue when we try to identify who's going to be the third quarterback. It seems if Jackson Dart's the hot name right now, if I'm taking Jackson Dart in the first round, I'm getting prepared to get fired, you know, within 2 years. I would not use a first-round pick on Jackson Dart, but I could use a first-round pick on Cam Ward or Shador Sanders. Here's the tricky part, though. If you got to trade up, that means you got to give future first-round picks. So is this the time that you want to pull the trigger on that if maybe these quarterbacks aren't as good and aren't viewed the same way as a typical quarterback going in the top 5 or the top 6 of the draft, or even in the top 3 of the draft, usually does get viewed? But I look at Tennessee and Cleveland. I think one of those teams will take a quarterback. I don't think both will take a quarterback. So there will be a possibility of trying to execute a trade, especially when you know the Giants are at 3. And here's what I think I know. I do think right now Cam Ward's going to be the first quarterback off the board. And I do think either Tennessee or Cleveland will take Cam Ward. Whoever doesn't take Cam Ward will either take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. That's what I think I know. But what I know for sure is, as long as two quarterbacks don't go in the first two picks, and I don't expect two quarterbacks to go in the first two picks, the Giants absolutely, whether it's Cam Ward or Shador Sanders, and I'm thinking it's going to be Shador Sanders be the second quarterback off the board, the Giants are going to gobble them up at 3. So you're going to have to move past the Giants in order to assure that you're getting a quarterback, unless if a team like Tennessee or Cleveland both surprise us and both don't take a quarterback. So teams that could potentially move up in the draft. Stu, I have to say your Raiders, right? Are you sold that the Raiders are going to move up, or do you kind of think the Raiders will just stay put, hope that a quarterback will fall to them, and if they don't, you know, maybe they'll pivot elsewhere, or maybe they'll pivot, obviously it happens before the draft, on a Sam Darnold, Justin Fields, or Russell Wilson, whoever. Right now, if you had to say out of 100%, whether it's trading up or having a quarterback fall into them, what are the odds, in your opinion, of the Raiders getting their franchise quarterback in the top 6 picks of the draft?
Say maybe 15%, 20%. Yeah, they're probably not going to trade up. They're probably going to stay put, I would think.
Because you know the Giants are taking a quarterback. So you would need Tennessee, Cleveland to pass on a quarterback. You know the Patriots. And as long as Trevor Lawrence, Jaguars, you know the Jaguars aren't taking a quarterback as well.
And it's hard, too, because I could say they could trade up with, like, the Patriots or Titans or Browns, but those teams want the top players that aren't quarterbacks. So if they're moving down to 6, then they're probably not going to get that player.
Yeah. The more and more I think about it too, I think that there could be a little bit of a contentious relationship, where I'm not saying it's vicious and nasty how you would view a contentious relationship, but I think it could be an unintentional contentious relationship between John Spytek, the new general manager of the Raiders, and then also Pete Carroll. Because think about it. Spytek is a younger guy, first time at the job. You know, he's close with Brady, so maybe he has a longer leash than some other first-time general managers. And for Pete Carroll, I know he doesn't look his age, but he's still in his 70s. And he's still someone that you would think at most 4 years maybe has left in his coaching career, maybe five, and he's only on a three-year contract. So I don't know if Pete's going to have the patience. And remember, he did once go after signing Matt Flynn. He handed the baton over to Russell Wilson, and that quickly had success. But that Seahawks roster was a great roster. The Raiders roster is nowhere close to being, forget great, how about just adequate? How about just average? So I look at that relationship with Spytek and Carroll. I just wonder if their viewpoints maybe cause them to butt heads. And that's why I tend to think that the Raiders don't move up in the draft. They end up staying at six. Spytek maybe even moves down, but he could take the best player available at six because the Raiders have holes everywhere. They're like Swiss cheese. And then Pete can also say, hey, we'll get a veteran quarterback in there, whether it's Russell Wilson that he knows very well, whether it's Sam Darnold, or even a youngster like Justin Fields, who some people still think has upside, and at least that quarterback has experience so you could hit the ground running instead of trying to develop a brand new quarterback coming on in and you have no clue how it's going to go. So that's what I was thinking about the Raiders, and we'll update my QB. We'll do the QB 1.0 predictions on where people are going to land. What I said yesterday, I now have a different name for the Raiders today. I thought long and hard about that, and I keep on going back to that Spytek Carroll whole relationship. I could see the Jets moving up. I actually don't think that would be bad, because if you're just settling on Russell Wilson or if you're just settling on Justin Fields, that's a stopgap. It really is. You need to go bring new life, and maybe you go give up future first-round picks to go get a Shedeur Sanders or a Cam Ward. The Saints potentially, I wonder if they'll move up at nine. Mickey Loomis says job security and then some. You know, so I don't think he has to. But I'm just looking at teams that are in the first half of the draft that could move up. And after that, I don't think anyone else in the first 15 picks. You know, if you're looking to trade up into the one or two spots, it's really the Raiders, the Jets, potentially the Saints. After that, like the Bears aren't, the Niners aren't, the Cowboys aren't. Imagine the Cowboys trade up and get Shedeur after having Dak. That'd be crazy. I don't think the Dolphins are. The Colts, I don't think, are. And the Falcons, they have Michael Penix Jr. So could there anyone be outside of the top 15 that maybe do what Kansas City or Buffalo did years ago to go get their, you know, to go get their quarterbacks? You know, could you potentially see that, especially like what Kansas City did? And you look at those teams. Arizona, I think, will run it back with Murray for 1 year. Obviously, the Bengals, no. Seahawks at 18. That would be a fun one. But you're going to have to give up a lot of capital. And once again, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders may not be worth a first-round pick, and then also then some more first-round picks if you're talking about moving up for 18. So, you know, Pittsburgh could be fun at 21, but that's a long ways to move up. It's possible, but that's a really steep climb to go from 21 to 1 or 21 to 2. So I think you have to look at the first 15 picks. And on potential move-ups, the Giants could be in play, but I think they stay at 3 and they get whichever quarterback is remaining there, because I don't think Tennessee and Cleveland are both taking quarterbacks. And then it's really the Raiders and the Jets that you really circle. And you go, okay, the Raiders and the Jets, if you want your quarterback, you're going to have to move up past the Giants to get into that 2 or 1 spot. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network, will take a timeout. We will come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We'll get to the news brief next. I just want to make you aware of a story that is breaking. Obviously, remember last year, the unfortunate shooting at the Kansas City Chiefs parade. I just was reading this via one of the aggregators, ML Football. Two people were shot as crowds were gathered for the Eagles Super Bowl parade. Police tell CBS News the status of both victims are currently unknown. Local authorities are investigating. And now, obviously, this is back-to-back years of shootings at a Super Bowl parade. So our best wishes. We hope everyone is able to be okay that did get shot. And everyone around it, we hope that you're able to get home safely as well. So on a day that should be a joyous occasion, celebrating, having fun, and celebrating a world championship for a wonderful Eagles team. Unfortunately, You have people there that just ruin the fun for everybody else. And as all we know so far, and I don't have a ton more information, so I apologize, but two people were shot at the Eagles parade, according to police that did talk to CBS News. So we send nothing but well wishes to the two people that were shot, obviously, and hopefully there's no one else that was injured or harmed, and hopefully that the day could go on and continue to be okay. Zach Yelp Show, Infinity Sports Network. Here's Zach.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INFSportsCenter, at Zach Yelp, using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the program. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's go to Tom Pelissero. He was on the Rich Eisen Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Did the Jets tell Aaron Rodgers, you must not go on the Pat McAfee Show?
I believe this is overstated. Mm-hmm. There were no ultimatums. It was not, hey, here's what you're going to do, take it or leave it. You're not allowed to do that, for one thing, under the collective bargaining agreement. You can't technically restrict, you can't require anybody to show up for voluntary practices, and you can't restrict outside media activities. But you could have a conversation about commitment and things like that. And these are all different things they were talking about, again, both internally,
yes,
and when they were having conversations with Aaron Rodgers. I believe if he were back, that would have been the setup. But it's not as if, hey, take it or leave it. It did not get to that point, from my understanding. But ultimately, they arrived at the decision this was not going to work.
So I just don't get it. And I know insiders have to be very careful with how they say things because they don't want to burn any bridges with their sources. But I've seen Tom Pelissero and then also, and I like Pelissero and Rapoport, I like too. They're both like, well, Diana Rossini's original report wasn't wrong, but aggregators blew it out of proportion. No, they didn't. And I understand that we could sometimes go after aggregators, right? I've said things sometimes that have been taken out of context. But, like, here, I heard what Diana Rossini said. Like, we played it for you. And she talked about how, you know, that you have to be at training camp, and then also you have to be at the offseason program, and they didn't want him on McAfee. Yeah, they can't force him to not go on McAfee. They can't say, oh, for the voluntary portion of OTAs, like, yeah, you have to be there. But they clearly told him, we want you there and we don't want you doing this. So if the disconnect here is, oh, it wasn't an ultimatum, it's almost if our bosses came up to me and they were like, Zach, hey, we'd prefer you not to talk about, I don't know, the Memphis Grizzlies today. Like, they can't demand me. They can't prevent me from talking about the Memphis Grizzlies if I ended up talking about it on the show. But if your bosses go up to you and go, hey, we don't want you to do this, and you do it, what do you think's going to happen? So if that's what it is, oh, the Jets didn't say you can't do this, you can't do that, we prefer you don't. If you're saying that there's no ultimatum and those are the things that they said and that's the big disconnect here, like, give me a break. I think it's getting down into too much of the minutia of this and like the little, oh yeah, it was said, but it wasn't demanded, which just doesn't really make sense to me. All right, let's get some audio from the parade. This courtesy of Fox 29, Landon Dickerson. He was cursing at the parade.
Landon,
all I gotta say is go burn. Oh,
we apologize
for
that.
Yeah, we apologize.
I'm sorry. All these news networks, you know how many times people now curse? I understand you're a news network and everything. You're at a parade. This is savage season. So if a player goes, you know, go bleeping birds, it's not the end of the world. Here is Quinyon Mitchell, who I heard was lost in the sauce at the parade. It's just a nice way to say it, courtesy of Fox 29.
I love that they're just hopping off the buses.
Hey, a message
what?
To the people of Philadelphia, your love it. Message.
Go! Eagle! Going.
Oh, wow. Quinyon Mitchell and Avante Maddox are feeling it right now.
Was that Quinyon Mitchell or my buddy Spencer who was drunk at the parade? You can't tell the difference. That's awesome. Milton Williams, he's a free agent, had a great Super Bowl, had a good year for the Eagles, CBS 3. How about your future, Milton Williams, with the Eagles?
Milton, I know you got some decisions to make in the future, but is this where you want to be?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, you see the type of team we got. You know, we feel confident being able to do it again.
So I saw that Milton Williams' father, he's been doing a celebration. I guess at the Super Bowl, he was doing like belt to ass for how much they were just whipping on the Chiefs. So he was literally standing there doing the air motion with like a belt just like whipping the air as if it was an ass. So I guess he brought an actual belt to the parade and he's on, right, the float of Milton Williams. And you just see him with a belt just smack in the air. And it's just, it's awesome. I love celebrations like that. Did you also see, Stu, I got to ask you about this.
Uh-oh.
Did you, I know
the shirt.
I know that you are a Swiftie.
Yeah.
Did you see what CJ Gardner-Johnson rolled up with?
I sure did.
So I guess after the game, CJ Gardner-Johnson, well, he was talking about Travis Kelce's ex, and he was like, that's what happens when you mess with one of our queens and you end up dating Taylor Swift. I guess that's like the politically correct way to say it without getting myself in any trouble. So the Swifties didn't like that. And I guess CJ Gardner-Johnson's mother owns a restaurant. And they bombarded her Yelp page with terrible reviews. And the Eagles fans responded with positive reviews. So CJ Gardner-Johnson, who's an elite crap talker, and was crap talking Eagles fans the 1 year he left. And then he came back. And now he's like Philadelphia's favorite son. He showed up to the parade with a sweatshirt. And this was Super Bowl Licks, L-I-X. He said, Swifties can licks my... And it was, I guess I could say it on the radio. I'll just pause so it's not as if I just said it. Right? I could say that. Questionable? Footballs. All right? Swifties can licks my footballs. Except there was no foot in it. All right? There we go. So that's what CJ Gardner-Johnson showed up to the parade. Since you are our resident Swiftie here on the show, Stu.
Oh, boy.
Would you like to say anything to CJ Gardner-Johnson?
No. I don't think leaving negative Yelp reviews on this poor woman's restaurant is very nice. I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
Yeah, don't do that.
So you think it's just the fun of the sport? Really? Not the negative reviews, just what CJ Gardner-Johnson said and
just
him wearing the shirt to the parade.
I don't think you could be offended by that.
And I love Chiefs fans. How dare CJ Gardner-Johnson do this? Oh, the Eagles, they don't win with any class. Like, give me a break. Come on, what are we doing? Here is on NFL Films, Justin Reed, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes. They were confident despite being down 27-0.
Patriots did it, coach. We can do this. The Patriots did 27-3. We can do this. Come on, dog. Come on, man. We all we got, man. Let's go.
Get it, baby. So put it on the board.
Well, can I just have a little message here? If you're thinking you're the Patriots, little secret. Well, guess what? You're not. It's funny how I heard Nick Wright say, who's like Chiefs sycophant one. I heard him say at halftime he spent time writing up his argument on why coming back down from, 24-0, I think it was at halftime, is better than 28-3. That's how much real estate the Patriots have in some of these Chiefs fans' head. Like, just, hey, you guys have your dynasty. We had our dynasty. Our dynasty right now is better than your dynasty. You still got a long ways to go, though, but it's still pretty damn good. Anyway, here is Tim Kawakami. Is how you say his last name? Willard and Dibbs, the 95.7 The Game, longtime 49ers reporter. Why are the Niners willing to move on from my best friend, Deebo Samuel?
I've heard for a few weeks now that 49ers weren't unhappy with Deebo's weight at the end of the season. Now, he'd gotten hurt. Some of this happens, but they were not happy. And we saw it. He did not have the explosion. He was not bouncing off of people. He was not running through a defense like he'd done at least 2-3 years ago. It's just the reality of the way things develop. And I think at this point, he probably will not be a 49er, but there's still a chance he could still remain a 49er. I don't think that's the way this is headed, but they got to figure out what a good trade would be.
I said it last year. I said they were going to pay Brandon Ayuk, and they were going to trade Deebo Samuel a year from now, and now it's a year from now. Deebo Samuel, he's dealing with some Zach Gelb show karma. That's what it is. He's fallen off ever since he hung up the phone and cried to his PR person, Ashley. That's just Zach Gelb show karma right there. And I still think Debo's a good player, but he's not great. And with how much money guys are getting on the Niners, someone's got to go. And he's an in-betweener now. Sometimes he'll look like a number one. Other days he'll look like a number two. So I think someone can get a good wide receiver, and I do expect him to ultimately get traded from the 49ers. Let's go to Shaq. He cursed twice on Inside the NBA last night.
When the words of Marshawn Lynch, I'm tired of shit, America. We get fired anyway, Ernie.
Well, here's the thing. So he said they're getting fired anyway, Ernie, so bleep it. I saw that Michael McCarthy of Front Office Sports, Shaquille O'Neal has an agreement in place for an enormous long-term deal with TNT Sports that will pay him over $15 million per year. So he's going to stay with Turner. I have no clue what this is going to be moving forward and what inside the NBA is going to look like, if it's even going to look like anything at all. So we'll continue to see that and monitor that throughout the years of what TNT is going to do with the whole television landscape changing in basketball. And finally, A.J. Brown. He has a message for his haters.
They said I was a diva. I said all I care about was stats. If you're going to get all those things wrong about me, but one thing you can get right, I'm a champion.
So there you go. A.J. Brown channeling his inner excellence as the Philadelphia Eagles are the most excellent team in the NFL from this past season. So there's some audio from the Eagles parade as well. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So entering this past season, Nick Sirianni was on the hot seat. He ended up winning a Super Bowl. There were questions about what Jalen Hurts could be as a quarterback. When we come on back, we'll go around the room here. Who is a coach that's on the hot seat entering the 2025 NFL season that you're curious to see how we're talking about them at the end of next season? And who is a quarterback that's under a ton of pressure that you're curious how we're going to be talking about that quarterback at the end of the 2025 season as well? Hour number one in the books. We're coming on back. And we'll kick off hour number two on a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show when we come on back after these short messages in 5 minutes.